Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Nazim Rashid opening the student to teacher show this morning. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, listeners out there, students and teachers, wherever you are. This is Dr. Danita Applewhite calling in to you from Mesa, Arizona. That's right, Arizona, great place. I just want to tell you this morning that you are a student and you are a teacher. We are both roles simultaneously. At the same time that you are a student, you are learning information. You are willing to learn. And then you take that learning and you begin to share it with others, which makes you a teacher. So you see, it's a constant exchange of roles throughout your life where you learn information and then you share information. So this morning, that's what we're going to do, students and teachers out there. At whatever academic level you're at, whether or not you're in a job training program, whether or not you're just thinking about going to school or you know someone that is thinking about going to school, maybe they dropped out several times, maybe they have children now and financial issues, but they have this yearning inside to return to school, return to the classroom. For them, it is a mark of success. You see, because success is always in the eye of the beholder. It is not what we call success. So if any of you are parents or family members listening out there, and you're listening for someone in your family that you've seen just pretty much giving up, I want you to understand that we have to go deep inside, encourage the person to go deep inside of themselves to find out what they value and what they call success. And until we do that, there's nothing that can be said because, you see, the only thing you're doing is talking about what you call success. So teachers out there, when we're talking to students, we need to be aware, not only everyone needs to be aware, of cultural issues when we're talking about success, too. Well, as we're talking about success and we're talking about cultural issues, what is culture? Let me make sure I define that so we don't have any, we're all on the same page as we go through the show today. When I'm talking about culture, I'm talking about examining the attitudes of an individual, examining or encouraging them to examine their own value system and what they believe in. So I alluded mentioning ethnicity or race, didn't I? Because that's what we usually think of as culture. But you see, you can have two people with the same ethnicity, the same race, and have totally different cultures. So as we look at culture, when we look at success, we also have to look at our big word today. Our big word today, our big concept that we're exploring is hope. So when we look at hope, we also need to look at the culture of the individual. So what does that, what attitude does that individual have about hope? And what do they believe that hope is? What is their belief system, even from a religious standpoint? And what do they truly value? You see, if we don't examine those things, we really can't help them to restore hope. We can't help ourselves to restore hope. Now, you know, all of you have been involved in a lot of the previous shows, and we've got, thank God we've got over 46,000 listeners out there that are open and willing to learn and share this information. What I'm hoping is that today you'll walk away from this show with a sense of hope that you can give to someone else, even if it means sitting them down at the computer and playing the show for them. Hopefully we'll have some great guests and some wonderful things that we'll be sharing about hope this morning. The loss of hope. The loss of hope is a very serious matter, especially with students and teachers out there. If you're losing hope in your future, it is very difficult and challenging to plan a future. If you're feeling a sense of hopelessness, and the reason why that's coming across so much on my desk lately is that I've been examining depression versus, not with homelessness, hopelessness. Let me say that again. I've been examining depression and its association with hopelessness. And you see, when we diagnose, as psychologists and psychiatrists, when we diagnose a person with depression, one of the characteristics that we look for as far as frequency and duration of any symptom is whether or not there's been a sense of hopelessness, whether the person feels, for us, we use a formula of 6 months. If there's been 6 months of a feeling of hopelessness, then that is part of our diagnostic, our analysis of the individual. If we see that the feelings of hopelessness are coming frequently, then that leads us to closer to that diagnosis of depression. But what I've been looking at is that hopelessness is in itself a dis-ease, a disability. Now check this out for a moment. Dis means, of course, removal or omission from whatever we're talking about. So this in our ability means that we have an ability and something is dis from it. Like some of the kids will say, even my grandsons, don't dis me, or you're dissing me, because that means that I'm omitting you or I'm forgetting you. So that's why our sponsor, White Apple Institute, always pushes the idea of differently abled individuals. Differently abled is our word, our concept of moving people away from buying into the label of disabled so that you can focus on more about what you're able to do. You have different abilities. Now, back to that word, dis-ease. When we lose hope, we lose a sense of ease, a sense of comfort. That's what ease is. It's comfort. So when I'm dis-ease, when I buy into that, it means that I am leaving a sense of ease, a sense of comfort. And we want to do our best to get back to that state of ease. We all seek to feel good. The human being awakens from the mother's womb, seeking to feel good. Whether feeling good is just taking care of our basic needs, my friend. It could be just, I want to be warm. I want to be fed. I just want to feel good. You see, that's why addiction is such a, addiction to drugs is such a tremendous thing. Addiction to gambling, addiction to anything is such a harmful situation and so hard to overcome. It's because whatever it is that a person is addicted to, it makes them feel good. And so if we get down to the basics, we all want to feel good. So in order for anyone to come away from an addiction or a lack of hope, we must be able to replace that. We must look for alternatives. And sometimes the alternatives are not equal. But we have to start seeking ways to replace whatever was making us feel good that may be destructive and look at what can be constructive in our lives. And sometimes, here we go, comes back to that network of support. Establishing that network of support among your family, among your friends, among your coworkers. And now when we do this, we got to make sure that we're talking to people that feed into an energy of restoring hope. So, without further ado, let's talk a little bit about how we're going to restore hope in students and teachers who have lost hope. See, planning a future, as I said a moment ago, planning a future for school and work requires hope and optimism. Optimism, my friend. The fact that many students and teachers and even employees, okay, which many employees are students in school trying to progress through the workforce, they face insecurities about their future, and it causes a sense of hopelessness. I'll tell you something else that causes a sense of hopelessness, too. You know, we've been talking in previous shows. Those of you that are new to the Student to Teacher Show may want to go back and listen to a couple of our shows on violence in our school and some of the other psychosocial issues that teachers and students deal with. Our world has many chaotic situations going on. I grant you. I agree with you. It is difficult to restore hope in a world we may perceive as hopeless. So I just said a word that maybe we need to explore a little bit. For those of you who are writing down, I know some of my students out there are writing down what I'm saying here. So write down the word perceive, because that's going to be the key word out there right now. Next to hope is our perception, the way we perceive hope in our world. So it's critical that families and communities encourage hope in the future, especially for optimal mental health. And you know, that's what I talk about a lot. You can always count on Dr. Applewhite talking about health from a physical, mental, and spiritual standpoint. Now, there we go again with mental disorder. Remember that word again. So if you've been diagnosed with a mental disorder, that means that something's out of order, and we just need to bring it back into order again and get that dis out of there. Okay? So, I'm going to present a unique way, hopefully, of understanding the diagnosis of depression, and that's inclusive of PTSD, which is post-traumatic stress syndrome disorder, and that deals a lot with depression and other types of mental disabilities that are involved in this sense of hopelessness coming across. We welcome our listeners this morning, and we welcome those of you that are on live. And we have a special guest this morning, by the way. Yes, we have a Dr. Beverly Johnson from ASU that will be joining us this morning. And Dr. Beverly Johnson will share some things that she's been doing at ASU dealing with emotional fitness. And she'll be coming on the show to share some of her ideas with us. Well, that'll be a real nice treat for our listeners this morning. What does hope have to do with our lives? And going back into the beginning of time, biblical times, if you will, people had to have hope, hope in something, hope in the future. But I don't know. I just want to say I encourage you to have hope in the present. Hope in the present. Remember, here's the present. It's a gift. That's why they call it the present, right? We're in this moment. What hope can we derive in this moment? Let's define hope for a minute. I'm going to go to good old Wikipedia. Hope is this state which promotes a belief in an outcome related to events and circumstances in one's life. Okay. Promotes the belief in an outcome related to events and circumstances in one's life. Now, one of the students that I work with gave me something very interesting about the difference she feels in depression and hopelessness. The difference between depression and hopelessness is that depression, she said, she feels is based on what you could not accomplish because you tried to do it. Hope, she says, she feels is based on what you think you want to do and you couldn't do. And I had to examine that. That sounded really good. It sounded like something my grandmother, with her very great education in Wilson, North Carolina, greatest psychologist I ever knew, she would say things like that to me. Hope is about what you think might happen. Depression may be based on what you think may happen too, but it's usually because something has happened in your life to cause that depression. Now, when we get into clinical depression, where there's an imbalance in the electrochemical communication in your brain, that's a whole different story. I'm talking about just being depressed right now. And if we're not careful with that depression, it can lead to clinical depression because, remember, everything's about energy. And so as we push our brains into a state of hopelessness and depression about what's going on in our world, all the chaos that's going on in our world, in our schools, not just with violence and random gun shootings, but with teachers that have mental illness and molest children. with school districts that put so much pressure on their teachers to live up to a standard, and the pressure comes out sometimes in classrooms and our interaction with our students. Now we have to be real careful of not pushing ourselves to that depression, towards that depression, towards that hopelessness. Let's see. We have a guest this morning, that online, a couple of guests, and I'm going to welcome them on to the show. Okay? Mm-hmm. Okay. And one of them is calling from, I think it's a San Diego number. Good morning. This is Dr. Applewhite. How are you?
Hello.
Hi. I'm glad you're calling in this morning. Do you have anything that you wanted to say about restoring hope? And if not at this point, we can come back to you.
Oh, I'd like you to come back to me. You said a lot of very important things that make a lot of sense. And I do have some more questions later, but I'd like to listen a little bit longer.
All right. Wonderful. We'll come back to you. Good
Thank
morning.
You.
Good morning, 200.
Good morning, 200.
Good morning. So good to hear from you. Any comments you have on restoring hope and depression?
Not right now.
All right. We're going to keep on going here. We've got a guest speaker coming on in a moment, Dr. Beverly Johnson. Dr. Johnson is from ASU. She's now a retired professor, but she has done some fantastic work in emotional fitness that she has shared with her students. And so we're going to allow her to come on, and I'm going to review a little bit about hopelessness and depression so that Dr. Johnson can catch up with the conversation here and give us some real great input on how we can become more optimistic and build and restore our hope in our students and teachers, because they are the ones who will impact our world more than anything, more than any other area, any other industry will be education that is going to lead the way for us to become more hopeful of our future. Dr. Johnson, are you online this morning?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead.
I'd love to share with them something about emotions, because emotions are the shorthand of life. They're not just irrational and unconscious. For example, when you're anxious, it's possible threat, vulnerability, lack of control. When you're angry, injustice. And so they are the most important thing between our relationships between ourselves and the natural and social environment. And if people would understand their emotions more deeply and work with them in many positive ways, they don't not only help themselves but others, and even things like the weather and the environment. And depression, for example, is when the person comes to the conclusion, life is hopeless. I don't fit in this world anymore in any size, shape, or form. And
yes,
it's like an emotional death. And
yes,
we want to think of ways to have hope. In other words, look at the light at the end of the tunnel, right?
That's right. That's right.
And so, we want to have what I call emotional understanding and recreation. And it's not that we're not saying the things that happen in life often are very sad and disastrous, but we want to look at real life and deal with it and find a balance between hope and reality.
Right.
And you understand, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And so one thing I always, I graduated with a degree in clinical sociology with a specialty in emotions, Yeah. And I did a 2-year internship in St. Vincent's Psychiatric Hospital in New York mm-hmm. City mm-hmm. with clinical sociology, and I learned a lot about people who were depressed, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And I always tease them and et cetera, because if you're not honest about your emotions, et cetera, you're not going to be able to try to, you know, change something. So
right.
I always teased them, and I said, I want to dance with the snake. Sometimes the snake rips my heart apart, tears my soul to shreds, but I choose to, I want to dance with the snake. Because it's not, and I'm not, we want to connect the biological, the psychological, and the social. And
yes.
Not just say brain disease and mute them with medicine. We
right.
want them to understand the patterns of thinking and feeling and behaving, and only they, with the support of others that care for them too, can help them develop more positive patterns.
Let me clarify, Dr. Johnson, for a moment, if you don't mm-hmm. mind. Let me clarify for some of our listeners out there,
mm-hmm.
especially those that are in other countries and may not
right.
understand the concept of the snake song. Basically, what you're saying is that we need to face the reality of the things that probably make us lose hope in our
right.
future. And so
yes.
we can't avoid them. We have to recognize them right away and deal with them. They're right there.
Yes, because life is not just, if we say life is hopeless and you don't fit in the world anymore,
yeah.
you know, it's not going to help anything. And even if you mute yourself, like people have all kinds of different ways to deal with depression,
uh-huh.
but through drinking alcohol or, you know, just too much medicine, it doesn't help
yes.
anything.
Absolutely.
We want to understand, and there's so many different things that happen in life that we can't control. And
yes.
Like there's so many people today that fear adequacy, because we have in our society so much emphasis on achievement
uh-huh.
and not making mistakes or anything,
right.
that we
right.
want to have them learn emotional management patterns
uh-huh.
that are positive, not just
right.
fear inadequacy or withdraw, and don't say life is hopeless, because everybody's special and valuable, and we want them to make their own special contribution to the world.
Right.
And we want to accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, right?
and so you know, this is so true, because when we look at what's happening with White Apple Institute, our sponsor, and the calls that are coming in from students, is a
mm-hmm.
sense of hopelessness when they're looking at the future of what's going on in the world and in America.
Right.
We're putting so much emphasis on the chaos that's going on.
Right.
And we
want to look at reality, but
yeah.
then we want to look for hope. We're going to say, if we all work together and are honest and explore and reflect on the patterns of the society, as well as thinking, feeling, and behaving that relate to it, only then can we choose to all
yeah.
work together on making things better.
Mm-hmm.
And even with working with the people, and can I give you a little example?
Sure, please.
Oh, okay, because there is a little too much emphasis on doing today,
mm-hmm.
et cetera. And that's why we learn from other cultures sometimes that it is more positive to relax and be.
Mm-hmm.
And every person is special and different. And
yeah.
we want to respect the wonder of differences. And
mm-hmm.
each of us has what I call exquisite emotional sensitivities, too, because of certain things that have happened in life. It's not just a brain disease where you mute it with a chemical.
Mm-hmm.
We want to look at reality and work with it in many positive ways. And I love it when people are supportive, too, of
yes.
other people.
Yes,
you know.
That's what I was alluding to earlier, network. We have to sometimes
yes.
go to that network of friends and family
mm-hmm.
and coworkers.
Right, everybody
hope.
Can work together.
Right.
And but just I'll give you a little, you know, there's many ways to work with it that can help.
Can you share your example?
Mm-hmm. And you're going to share or I'm going to share?
No, you're going to share. I want you to share your example.
Okay, I had a young man that was very
uh-huh.
depressed, too.
Uh-huh.
And when you got him to be honest, and he had been assaulted and abused when he was very young, and even 2 years old. And
uh-huh.
So he didn't have a very positive outlook on life, did he?
Yeah.
But what they did was, because he'd been assaulted, et cetera, some of the regular medical people had just given him, said, okay, he wouldn't even eat. He wouldn't even eat food, because when he went to the bathroom, it brought some of the memories up of all the assault, et cetera.
Uh-huh. Right.
And he, so he would have anorexia, what they call,
uh-huh.
and et cetera. And they just trying to force him to eat, and then they gave him, of all things, diarrhea medicine.
Uh-huh.
And that didn't solve anything, because he had to wear
not.
A diaper going to
right.
school.
Another
and,
trigger, another reinforcement.
Yeah, and you don't
yeah.
think that boys would like to go to school wearing diapers.
No.
And
how old was he again? I'm sorry, I missed the age.
When I worked with him, he
yeah.
was about eight to 9 years old.
Okay, all right.
And he, who knows, you know, it's like an emotional death in a sense.
Yes.
And so I said, hey, we can't change some of the things that have happened. That's real life. But I want you to turn it into the positive, because you don't want to admit, you know, lose the opportunity, like to hold some cute little girl's hand when you get to be 12 years old,
uh-huh.
or to enjoy going to school. And I learned that he liked sports. So instead of forcing him to eat, I said, you're missing out on a lot of good foods, like what?
Yeah.
Cheeseburger and McDonald's.
Uh-huh.
But I said, you don't want to miss out on these ordinary, wonderful things. And I found out that he loved sports. And I said, if he would start seeing how wonderful it was to eat, and to go to the bathroom, I would buy him a pair of Diamondback's boxer trunks.
Wonderful.
Guess what? In 1 week, he was eating and going to the bathroom, and he was so happy when he had those. So, see, it takes a lot more to work with people. And
yeah.
I even played a lot of one notes on the piano for a long, long time, and I said, hey, you know, we don't want to hear it rain all the time. Sure, it's nice to rain when the desert needs some water.
Right.
But if it's raining all the time, you won't be able to change anything. And then I played a little song and put a flashlight up near him and said, morning has broken like the first sunrise. You know, and it makes them laugh, and they learn to be honest
yes.
and explore and reflect on their patterns. And then only then can they change. And
you know,
one last thing.
Go ahead. Uh-huh.
Oh, go ahead. I'm talking too much.
That's
but the
right.
thing is that other people can support and understand them, too. And they can say, oh, son, ascend and enlighten forever, even though it's raining. But I wrote another song on the piano, and when he felt really bad or he got depressed again, he started taking music lessons.
Wonderful.
And say, life is hopeless, I don't fit in this world anymore. And I say, no, come on now. You want to find balance between reality and hope. You want to
balance.
Accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I would play a little song for him that he learned to play on his piano, too. And when he felt discouraged or depressed, he could go bang on the piano and get his feelings out and
mm-hmm.
laugh and smile. And his friends would sing with him. You know, he made some little friends, and they'd come around, and he'd sing. And then I won't sing anymore, but, "Life, I love you, life, I love you, yes, yes, I do. Life, I love you, life, I love you, and I always will. Even when your rain is pouring, I still love you so. Even when your thunder's roaring, I still love you. Yes, I love you, life, I love you, life, I love you. Yes, yes, I do. Life, I love you." See, that worked.
That is really wonderful.
So we want to think of all different ways to look at the reality of life, like the traffic, right? And,
let me ask you, just for a moment, going back to this great example that you gave us, because it's so applicable to adult students as well as the 8 or 9 year old.
Right.
And that is that I had spoken earlier about addiction and the factor that when we feel a sense of hopelessness, we look for things that we develop these addictions to different things, from drugs to gambling to even sexual relationships or whatever. And what you said was so important about finding an alternative. You found an alternative that he enjoyed, and you tried to match that. And maybe it won't compare exactly, but it's something that gives him an alternative to feeling a sense of hopelessness. And that's what we hope we can do with people who are dealing with addiction and depression, is to help them to find those alternatives. That's one of the keys. Of course, the first key, as you noted, was recognition.
Yes.
Okay, recognition.
Honesty, emotional honesty. Mm-hmm.
So we can't deny that things are going on in the world. We can't deny that. We can't deny our fear about the violence that's going on in our world. But if we recognize it and balance, I love that word that you use, balance.
I love balance, too. We want to look at real life and then work together, alone and together, to work on more positive ways to, you know, to handle our emotions. Everybody's going to have things in their life happen that they didn't choose to have happen. And we want to be able to work with it in positive ways and be, as I said, honest, reflect on it, and then choose to many positive ways to work with it. It's not easy, but it can really, really, really help. And if the whole world did that, we'd really all get along much better.
The
environment would be better. It wouldn't be as cold or hot.
You know, Dr. Johnson, you have been an inspiration for me to want to look at emotional management in a very, very different way when I'm dealing with my students and clients. And I really thank you for that. I have a question that has come up in our chat room, and I wanted you to help me explore maybe a solution for that. Something that we can give a person. First off, there's one teacher that's talking about losing her desire to teach. She has lost her desire to go into the classroom, and she used to have a burning desire to go, and she's feeling a sense of hopelessness there. But more importantly, there is another person who's talking about a student who's lost hope, and I remember, and also considering suicide, and I remember reading something some time ago about hope, and a number of researchers have found this out, that the loss of hope is more of a predictor of suicide than depression.
Yes, too much these days, because especially in our culture, it tells us to be in charge of our own life. And even young people are committing suicide more. But they're just going to take themselves out of the world and because they feel everything is so hopeless. And even if no one's perfect, that's why when I taught sound silly, but I always gave students an extra point for a mistake because I didn't want anyone to ever be perfect, because they'd worry about if they weren't perfect, you know. And I said, I want you to think deeply and do well, and you'd like that one that was the teacher to be her own special self and enjoy the process of teaching, mm-hmm. and do the best she can, and you let the students complain maybe about, mm-hmm. like if I sang too much or danced too much, they could raise their hands and said, would you just lecture for a while, Dr. Johnson?
You know. Well, I love what you said about just a moment ago about allowing them to make mistakes. And you know, I always tell my students that the mistake, yes, it's a mistake when you first make it, but it can turn into a lesson. And if we turn into a lesson, then it's not a mistake anymore.
Yes.
And so that, you know, that's one of the things that I reinforce, and I think that's wonderful that we allow for that. And I think that teachers need to allow for their mistakes, okay?
Yes.
Especially in
and to enjoy the process of learning. Not just be too easy or anything, because, you know, you teach the power of limits, too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I have them, and you could have clients or students, too, paint a picture and then mat it and frame it. And then I look, the power of limits. Doesn't that even make the picture look more beautiful sometimes? And they can see that point. But not to keep you, but anything, but I have one poem that I wrote about hope called O Sun. And I can read that, and then you can talk to your other people, and then another time I can talk to you.
Please share.
Okay, it's called O Sun, because we want to look at the light at the end of the tunnel, don't we?
Oh.
O Sun, glowing, shining, elucidating, how I value you. O luminous rays, how I appreciate you. You open up my eyes to the wonder of reality and bask me in the honesty of truth, uncovered by trees of deception, plants of denial, and waters of defense. O morning star, assist me with your brilliant aura, and I will see and reflect upon portraits of being in landscapes of survival. O enlightening beacon, continually embrace my soul with caressing warmth, melting discomfort, and searing anguish, for only then will I experience again and again the wonder and beauty of honest reflection and choiceful adaptation. O Sun, ascend and enlighten forever.
Wow.
Because that's what we want. We can't get away from real life, you know, because things always happen that we can't plan for. But we want to work together. That's why I love it, that we're individuals, but we can work together, too. That's like we can learn from the different cultures that work together on many things.
Tell us a little bit about your book. Was that poem from your book?
Oh, my poetry book is called Artistic Love.
Uh-huh.
And but I love writing. That's how I get my feelings out.
Yes,
is writing,
I have your book.
poetry. And it's a form of music. You know, and instead of just getting depressed, sure, you feel depressed. It's like an emotional death. But you want to put the little rays of light back up in there again, you know. And I don't want them just muted by taking a pill or something, but I want them to tease myself or anyone. Like some, I told you about the class.
Mm-hmm.
The student stood up, and he was very depressed and anxious. So
mm-hmm.
I'll tell them, too, and then I'll leave you alone. But he said, Dr. Johnson, can I share something with the class? And that's when I was shocked, because there were 30 students. But I said, yes. And he said, I'm almost 22, and I haven't had a date yet. And I'm too anxious to ask for one, so I've been drinking two beers every night. And I thought, oh, what do I do? What do I do? But I said, first of all, you can have beer with your friends on the weekend. but not when you're anxious, because that won't solve the problem. But why are you anxious? You're so cute. And
uh-huh.
he said, I'm too short. See, they put too much emphasis on one right size.
Uh-huh.
He's 5 foot two. I'm black.
Uh-huh.
And I don't want anybody to know I'm from Alabama. And I thought, uh-oh, see, there's not one right color and place. And I bring my little piano recorder, and I hit the note for 3 minutes and said, if there's one right note, we'd have the most boring symphony in the universe.
Uh-huh.
And I picked the little girl from Vietnam in the back row, and
uh-huh.
I said, use your wonderful African-American talent of music and dancing and dance down and practice asking for a date, and you'll get an extra point. And she
uh-huh.
said, can I get an extra point, too? She was only 4 foot ten. And
right.
he did it, and all the students clapped for him, and I told you that I saw them holding hands in the student union the next day, and I laughed and said, uh-oh, you were a matchmaker, not a professor. But last but not least, I'll tell you what I played on the little piano
yes.
for him, and
okay.
then I'll leave you alone.
Yes,
oh,
yes,
I come from Alabama with a banjo on my knee, and you are such a cutie, would you go out with me? I'm so special, and you are special too, so hold my hand and out we'll go, 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 go. See, it takes a lot of creativity to work with depression, but now
you
get
yes,
to talk to more logical people, but it's true. Emotional fitness. So stretch your emotional muscles and have hope.
Thank you okay? so much, Dr. Johnson, for being here this morning and sharing with us enlightening and inspirational.
Thank you for listening and have
and
a
where,
nice.
And where can we get the book Artistic Love? Is it still available on Amazon or?
yes, and. So I'll tell you more about that later, but you get back and enjoy the sun.
Okay. Thank you so much for being part of our show today.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye.
One of the things that we want to make sure that we really look at here is, I mentioned the word earlier, optimism.
Yes.
And I wanted to, versus pessimism, and I
mm-hmm.
wanted to make sure that our listeners are aware of the fact that optimism is sometimes looked at as a very temporary stage, and it's not. It doesn't have to be temporary. It can be an ongoing effort every morning to wake
yeah.
up. And when you talk about poetry and music and those types of things in our lives, sports, that we can look at all of the positive things that are going on, things that we can get involved in to help
yes.
us overcome hopelessness, to help
right.
us overcome this dis-ease state and get back to a state of ease versus a state of dis-ease. We
right.
want to make sure that we look at our desire and our hope for the future in more of a prolonged state.
Yeah.
We want to look at it as this is the way I really am. This is the way I choose to be today in the present and the way I'm going to choose to be tomorrow morning. But, of course, tomorrow morning is tomorrow morning. But in the
yes.
present moment right now, I'm going mm-hmm. to choose to feel hope.
Right.
And how do I do that? Look around you and see if you can pick up, after the show is over today, listeners out there, listen to some music, read some poetry, get involved in something that you want to do. Even if you don't go and do it today, plan it.
Even if it's a man that wants to go golfing.
That's right. You can plan it. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative. And
that's
then
right,
another
right.
quick poem. Artists of life, each and all, caress your spirits, soothe your souls, and stroke by stroke, recreate the portraits and landscapes of life with love.
Absolutely.
And so we want
gonna,
them
I'd
to
like
do
you
that.
To hold on. I'd like you to hold on for a minute because we have some listeners here who might have some comments for you. We have approximately 10 minutes left on the show, so if you don't mind hanging in there for a minute, and let's just see if we have some listeners out there outside of
yes,
our chat.
Yes, if they have any questions.
Yes.
Okay.
Anything that we, there was a lady that called in from San Diego. Your name, please, ma'am? We can't hear you, Audrey. Okay. Are you on mute there? Okay, let's see. Okay, I have you live right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, try that once more. Okay, you might need to call back in, Audrey, because it sounds like you have some good things to say there. We have another caller online. We'll come back to you, Audrey. Are you there, Audrey?
Yes, I am.
Okay, wonderful.
What I wanted to make a point about is in regards to hopelessness, choosing to be hopeful and planning on it. I just think that's absolutely awesome. And the fact that you hear that if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And I just think that is something that's imperative. And I think that is one of the most one of the best things I've heard this morning, and that is choosing. We do have a choice. Is that correct? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yes. If we explore, reflect, understand, choose, affirm, enact, and interact, you illuminate the dark sea of life sometimes.
Uh-huh.
And we want to all do that and work together. And again, I'll say, breathe in reality, breathe out humanity.
Uh-huh. Very
so,
good point. Thank you.
So I hope that they all will see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Any other comments out there as we come to a close here? Any comments on the hope, the issues of hope? If you have anything that you'd like to say, make sure that you contact WhiteAppleInstitute.org and give us your comments on the show today. Make sure you register as a regular listener. And don't forget that we survive with this show and with White Apple Institute providing grants to disadvantaged students and teachers by your donations. Okay, your donations are very important. So if you go to whiteappleinstitute.org and click on that donation button, any of your dollars will help us continue this great work that we're doing. It's real important that we look at the fact that it's all about choice. And that is a very important thing. I talk a lot about choice. It is a choice for you to listen to the show this morning. It's a choice for you to listen to the ideas that we have shared with you this morning. I want to make sure that our veterans out there, because I always try to do a little plug for the veterans at the end of the show, and that is that we continue to have hope in our government and our Veterans Administration authorities, that things will clear up. I know there's been a lot of controversy going on out there, vets. You know, and my empathy is with you, the new vets that are coming back from
post-traumatic stress.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
Yes. Don't
and
give
it's
up
understandable.
Your hope. Yes. Thank you. Don't give up your hope. Contact WhiteAppleInstitute.org and let us help you out with getting your life on the path that you want it to be, developing your level of success. That's what's most important. You know, we talk a lot about self-esteem, okay, and people losing their self-esteem, and I notice that when I'm talking to a lot of veterans and students, that they lose their self-esteem when they start developing this sense of hopelessness. And when we're dealing with self-esteem in psychology, we usually deal with the present moment of where a person is self-esteem-wise. And we don't deal with how they feel about their future and the hope that they have in their future and where they see themselves and the esteem that they hold for themselves. So I encourage our teachers out there and counselors that are working with people to look at self-esteem, not just in the present moment or where a person has come from, but what they hope for in the future. Hope is got to be a very important thing. Lead the forefront in our counseling sessions. Do you agree, Dr. Johnson?
Yes, I agree completely. I accentuate positive. We want to work with them because they've gone through some very hard times, and it's not that they're just wimpy if they, you know, feel some bad emotions, etc. it's normal and human, and we want them to help re-enter life and have a more positive environment.
That's right. That's right. So, and yes, thank you so much for sharing that, because one of the things that I want to make sure that I do with my own personal life is make the choice every morning to look at hope and look at what hope has to be examined, just like when we're goal setting.
Yes.
It needs to be probable. It needs to be something realistic, something that we can truly wrap our mind
around. We want to look at reality, mm-hmm. and then and only then can we make positive socio-emotional recreation.
That's
because if we don't look at reality, we wouldn't be able to. But it's not always easy to, is it?
No, it's not.
But we can look at the beautiful sunshine we have today in Arizona.
Mm-hmm. And so, for those of you who are not looking at the beautiful sun, maybe you could look at the beautiful snow.
Oh, that's true. See, she's got a good outlook. There's beauty even in raindrops, right?
Yeah. We have one more caller that may have, we have a couple of minutes left. Caller 471, are you there? You have any comments? We have a 471 caller.
Good morning.
Hello. Good morning.
Oh, I've just been listening to the show. I have no comments.
Okay. Well, thank you. Did you enjoy the show today?
I really did enjoy the show.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you so much. I hope that you encourage hope in the future for whoever you come in contact with this week. As we come to a close on the show, I want to help others to understand that we are not alone in this. We are all part of restoring hope in all of us around the world, not just in our immediate communities, our immediate homes, but all of it. We're all in the same boat together. And I'm hoping for a beautiful world. I'm seeing a beautiful world at this moment. This is my choice to see that. I am maintaining my optimism for the long haul. Okay?
Yes, We want them all to be, one last poem before you close. Artists of life, each and all, caress your spirits, soothe your souls, and stroke by stroke, recreate the portraits and landscapes of life in love. Okay.
Wow. Love.
All right.
A very big thing. We're going to do more on hope in the future. Our next shows coming up will be dealing with relationships and sexuality and how that impacts our success in school and at work. So stay tuned for the student to teacher show, and recognize again that we have many, many ways to find hope in our world. As we close our show, I'd like to take a few moments for us to meditate on what we have done this morning, and we can do that with the music of Wes Ricks, a beautiful gentleman who shares his album Two Worlds on Amazon with us. This is Dr. Denita Applewhite signing out with you this Saturday morning and wishing you much love and peace.